Track 13. Celebrity Spotlight. This month we will hear about a celebrity who was very familiar with the spotlight in the 1930s and 1940s. George Formby. Here is Sam to tell us about him.
Turned out nice again, hasn't it?
I'm leaning on a lamp. Maybe you think I look a tramp. Or you may think I'm hanging round to steal a car.
Well, there he is, leaning on the lamppost with his little stick of Blackpool rock and his ukulele in his hand whilst cleaning windows. That's George Formby. Well, film star, comedian, singer-songwriter, musician, activist through his wife Beryl, and homeowner on the Norfolk Broads, George was born in Wigan in Lancashire in 1904 as George Hoy Booth. Born into a musical family, his father was the then famous George Formby Sr. Now, Formby was born blind, owing to an obstructive membrane over his head, although his sight was restored during a violent coughing fit or a sneeze when he was a few months old. Well, George Booth began as a stable lad and trained as a jockey. However, his father's early death led to other comedians billing themselves as the new George Formby, and so young George took to the stage as comedian George Hoy. Well, he changed his name, taking his father's stage name, Formby. Now, in 1923, he made two career-changing decisions. He purchased a ukulele and married Beryl Ingham, a fellow performer who became his manager and transformed his act. She insisted that he appear on stage formally dressed and introduce the ukulele into his performance.
Mr. Wu no longer has a laundry. Sad to say the business was a flop. He shouted, what a hope, as he chewed a bar of soap and then put up the shutters of the shop. Said Mr. Wu, what shall I do? And Mr. Wu's a window cleaner now. The laundry...
Well, from 1934, he increasingly worked in film and he began to develop into a major star by the late 1930s and 40s. And he became the UK's most popular entertainer during those decades. Now, it is said that on film, Formby portrayed gormless Lancastrian innocents who would win through against some form of villainy, gaining the affection of an attractive middle-class girl in the process. Now, early films were mostly review shows filmed, and they were cheap to make and incredibly popular with audiences. But moving to Associated Talking Pictures, later to become Ealing Studios in 1935, Formby made No Limit, in which he enters the Isle of Man TT motorcycle race.
Yes, just as I thought. Crash at Ballacrane, number 28, skidded on the road and went straight into a front door. All right, they're open.
You do that again and I'll smack your face for you.
Thank you.
Were made for £3,000. The film was estimated to have made as much as £80,000 at the box office. Now, that's £240,000 cost to over £7.5 million box office takings in today's money. But whilst his character was still developing and Beryl was turning the set into a battleground with her demands, especially regarding George's co-star Florence Desmond, despite this, the film was a huge success, and one review stated, "Our Lancashire George is a grand lad. He can gag and clown, play the banjo and sing with authority." Well, the film was so popular, it was reissued in 1938, 1946 and 1957. Well, during the Second World War, Formby worked extensively for the Entertainment's National Service Association, ENSA, and entertained civilians and troops. And by 1946, it was estimated that he had performed in front of 3 million service personnel. Formby's biographer, Geoffrey Richards, considers that the actor had been able to embody simultaneously Lancashire, the working classes, the people and the nation. As Formby said himself, "I'm just a clown without the makeup, the circus clown who magnifies the reactions of ordinary people to the things that happen around them." Well, his film career went from strength to strength, with the public lapping up his adventures in films such as Let George Do It, Keep Fit, Spare a Copper, and Turned Out Nice Again.
Springtime, summer, autumn, winter, so the seasons go. Sometimes we get them all at once with a little rain or snow. The sun for long, it doesn't shine, it's either wet or else it's fine. Last night I said when I went to bed, it's turned out nice again. In this hotel, I'll sleep well, it's turned out nice again. A sweet young bride then popped inside, turned down the counterpane. She shouted, "Ooh!" I said, "Peep boo, it's turned out nice again."
Said Miss. And in 1941, Columbia Pictures made a deal with Beryl for over £500,000. And that's an unbelievable £32 million today to make six pictures, including South American George, Get Cracking and Bell Bottom George. And what of his music? Well, we have his films to thank for highlighting his unique, risque songs and turning them into mini music videos that have lasted through time. There's Leaning on a Lamppost, the saucy With My Little Ukulele in My Hand, My Little Stick of Blackpool Rock, Auntie Maggie's Remedy, Chinese Laundry Blues, featuring Mr. Wu, and of course, When I'm Cleaning Windows.
Now I go window cleaning to earn an honest bob. For a nosy parker, it's an interesting job. Now it's a job that just suits me. A window cleaner you would be if you can see what I can see. When I'm cleaning windows, honeymooning couples too. You should see them villain coo. You'd be surprised at things they do. When I'm cleaning windows, in my profession I'll work hard, but I'll never stop. I'll climb this blinking ladder till I get right to the top. The blushing bride, she looks divine. The bridegroom, he is doing fine. I'd rather have his job than mine. When I'm cleaning windows, there's a famous talking queen.
It's no one else's business, as far as I can see. But every time that I go out, the people stare at me with my little ukulele in my hand. Of course, the people do not understand. Some say, why don't you be a scout? Why don't you read a book? But I get lots more pleasure when I'm playing with me you. Of course I take no notice, you can tell. For mother's sound advice will always stand. She said, my boy, do what I say, and you'll never go astray if you keep your ukulele in your hand. Yes, son, keep your ukulele in your hand. My wits had to use. She cried, I'm drowning, and to save me you won't refuse. I said, well, if you're drowning, then I don't want to lose me little stick of Blackpool Rock. With me little stick of Blackpool Rock, along the promenade I stroll. In the ballroom I went dancing each night. No wonder every girl I danced with stuck to me tight. Every day, wherever I stray.
Now if you've got lumbago, rheumatics or gout, or a pain in your rubber dilly, don't kick up a shindy, you'll never get windy with Auntie Maggie's remedy. If you set your alarm clock for 8 in the morning, you're bound to wake up, I'll agree. But I'll bet you by heaven, he'll jump out of 7 with Auntie Maggie's remedy. Young lady's bedroom, I went by mistake. My intentions were honest, you see. She shouted with laughter, I know what you're after. It's Auntie Maggie's remedy.
His catchphrase, it turned out nice again, is still in use today. And here's Peter Sellers on Parkinson doing his impression.
Turned out nice again, didn't it? 1, 2, 3.
Turned out nice again shows that George, along with Lancashire lass Gracie Fields, managed to keep their northern sensibilities and accents at a time of financial depression and even through wartime. Their attitude of it'll turn out okay and get through any hardship with a song and a smile helped people of the 30s and the 40s, especially the cinema goers, deal with the everyday hardships that they faced. Now, George was awarded the OBE in 1946, but although delighted, he was upset that Beryl went without official recognition and said, if something was coming our way, I'd like it to be something Beryl could have shared. Now, this is where it gets juicy and a bit of a rude word included. The Formbys toured South Africa shortly before the formal racial apartheid was introduced. And while they were there, they refused to play racially segregated venues. Now, when Formby was cheered by a black audience after embracing a small black girl who had presented his wife with a box of chocolates, National Party leader Daniel Francois Malan, who later introduced apartheid, telephoned to complain. Well, Beryl replied, "Why don't you piss off, you horrible little man?" I'm sorry about that. But George in Civvy Street marked his final film. It was only 1946, but following the war, many of the stars that had seen Britain through that period were finding audiences' tastes had changed. Other stars, such as Gracie Fields and Tommy Trinder and even Will Hay, found that their characters were ageing and greying and thickening out. Formby was considered too old to play the innocent, naive characters that had been his mainstay. And his health took a turn for the worst. He returned to the stage and toured the world, and when he returned, he was offered more films, but said, "I'm afraid the days of being a clown are gone." Well, added to this, a 90% tax the government took on his earnings, leading him to declare, "That's it. So long as the government keeps me bleeding me dry, I shan't be in much of a hurry to work again." Well, he all but retired. And this is where the story becomes local. You see, he and Beryl spent the rest of the year in Norfolk. A lot of this time was spent on the Norfolk Broads, where George and Beryl bought a house in Wroxham, Heronby, and they spent much of their time sailing on the Broads in their boats, the Lady Beryl 1 and the Lady Beryl 2. And George was able to combine this with appearing in Summer Season in Great Yarmouth. And George and Beryl were honoured to open the remodelled Roys of Wroxham department store in the early 1950s. I mean, you don't get more local than Roys, do you? Well, then George later embraced television. The BBC had previously banned many of his records, with the corporation's director, John Rees, stating that if the public wants to listen to Formby singing his disgusting little ditty, The Window Cleaner, they'll have to be content to hear it in the cinemas and not over the nation's airways. Well, by 1960, the BBC were broadcasting theatre shows live into people's living rooms, which allowed Beryl, now struck down with leukaemia, to watch his pantomime from Bristol. And on Christmas Eve 1960, Beryl fell into a coma and died on Christmas Day. And on Valentine's Day 1961, George announced his engagement to Pat Howson, a school teacher whom he had spent time with while Beryl was gravely ill. You see, despite Beryl's dominating vigilance, George had had many affairs, including with actress Kay Walsh in the 30s, whilst a 19-year-old Googie Withers recalled that George wasn't allowed to talk to her at all. Anyway, this engagement caused a furor amongst the relatives, and when George died in March 1961, Pat was still unmarried. The obituarist for the Times wrote that he was the amateur of the old smoking concert platform turned into a music hall professional of genius, while the Daily Mirror called him as great an entertainer as any of the giants of the music hall. The Guardian considered that, with his ukulele, his songs and his grinning patter, the sum was greater than any of those parts, a Lancashire character. While in the eyes of the public, Formby's passing was genuinely and widely mourned. Well, over 150,000 people lined the route to Warrington Cemetery, where George was buried next to his father. The remaining family quickly read the will, which had been drawn up 2 weeks previously. The Formby's valet was to receive £5,000. Well, that's £142,000 these days. And the rest, estimated at nearly £4 million today, was to go to Pat. His mother, Eliza, was offered £5,000 and his two sisters £2,000 each, and were described by George as a set of scroungers. Well, they took it to court, where Pat was requested to give those amounts to them. They appealed, and the matter ran on into 1965, when they were awarded nothing. George Formby, OBE, ukulele playing, saucy song singing, gawky smiling Lancashire star of British cinema, chart topper, Lothario and prospective window cleaner. Forever leaning on that lamppost watching the little ladies go by. Oh me, oh my.
Leaning on a lamppost at the corner of the street in case a certain little lady passes by.
Thank you, Sam.